All right, we are live on a Monday, July 7th, 2025, the end of the Mike Rizzo era. Craig Hoffman with Anthony Haney, who is back from vacation. We were going to have a light, fun show today, just talking, getting all kinds of stories out of Haney, fresh off Antoine in Paris, Antonio in Barcelona. And boy, did the reality of being Anthony hit real quick, Sir Haney.
It did indeed, man. We had breaking news literally yesterday evening.
You didn't even make it to work today.
I know.
You didn't even make it to Monday. You just, all of a sudden, I'm sending you a text. Yo, Rizzo Davey, out. Yeah. We got to start booking guests for tomorrow now, bro.
Yeah. I couldn't even enjoy my last day off, man, but it's okay.
Sometimes it be like that. Sometimes it be like that. Wizards made the Cam Whitmore trade. Not going to get to that today. I mean, it's the middle of July. Thanks, Nationals, for giving us something to talk about. But this isn't what we had in mind. Here's where I'm at when it comes to the decision to fire Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez. There is a lot of factors at play to the decision in a small, like in a vacuum. And they all make sense to make this move. There is a larger, like, where do they go from here that gets real dicey real quickly. But if we're going to, on some level, look at this decision in a vacuum, we know for a fact that Davey Martinez had an option that, you know, was a couple million dollars to coach next year that had to be picked up by July 15th. And very clearly, they did not want to do that. And Grant, I was listening to G&D on the way in. Grant said he was told there was no ultimatum. It wasn't like Davey was like, or they told Rizzo, you got to fire Davey, and he refused, and then they both got sent. There was none of that, which is something that I thought of initially. But we at the very least know there was a deadline, and deadlines tend to spur action. And if he is not going to be the guy moving forward, what's the point of having him as a lame duck head coach? And then the question becomes, Mike Rizzo on the exact same timeline? And if he is, as some have reported, but a lot, like it still seems to be a little bit of confusion there. I know Grant hasn't confirmed it. They had Jeff Passan on, who was awesome on their show, and we'll play a couple bites of Passan later on in our show from G&D. We have our own great guests as well. Clinton Yates, Chelsea Janes, Robert Flores, MLB Network going to join us before the end of the hour. Chelsea at 5, Clinton at 6. So we had tons of coverage on both of our stations today. But Passan said he didn't have it confirmed that Rizzo was on the same timeline, but the draft is next week. And if he's not going to be your guy moving forward, even if the option's at the end of the year, do you want to give him a number one pick in the draft? And this gets into kind of how Rizzo ran things from people like from listening, reading, you know, a lot of great coverage in the post. We've had, you know, people on our stations all day. So, well, I think you guys that are regular listeners know I'm not nearly as plugged in on the Nats as I am on the Commanders or the Wizards. I certainly pay attention, and I have taken in a lot of information today. And Rizzo is a very old school, or was a very old school general manager, and the buck stopped with him. And that was something that often was good. He made a ton of great decisions, including many that led to the 2019 World Series. He also has been in charge of some of the misses where certain guys have not panned out. And so if there was a ton of work put into this draft next week where the number one overall pick is going, is the Nationals, and there was fear that maybe a lot of the scouts, the analytics folks, the whoever, wanted to go one direction and Rizzo was going to go the other, while all the work has been done and Rizzo has been in charge of the people doing the work, the outcome could be very different. And I think that that is a reality that we should acknowledge. We should say, like, hey, while it feels crazy, and it's like, well, how different is it going to be? All the work's already been done. If you have someone that is a final decision maker that tends to go against the grain or has the power to go against the grain, and, you know, in this case, the grain is all going one way, then that could be a reason to do this now. Nevertheless, the contractual stuff and kind of the logistics and the logic of, if this isn't our GM moving forward, why would we let him make the pick and then move on? Now, of course, Mike DiBartolo, the assistant general manager, who is now the deputy, who is now the interim general manager, we don't know that he's going to be either, but that this is a decision you're going to have to live with. You're going to have to live with the work of your scouts, with DiBartolo playing the role of sifting through the information and, you know, maybe even taking kind of a vote amongst the group, however that is going to go. So on that level, the timing actually makes some level of sense. You're trying to give these guys the season. You know, just when things were getting really bad, they got really good. They had that really nice run where they got within two or three games of 500. And then they obviously went on the 11-game losing streak, in the middle of which Davey stuck his foot in his mouth. And things have been pretty terrible since. And so as they're not getting better, you get closer to the deadline, the trade deadline, the contract deadline, and the deadline of the draft, you make the move. I actually have no problem with that. However, where the team goes from here is, I would say this, it feels very limited in the ways that the Washington football team was limited under Daniel Snyder. And I realize that is a heavy statement, and so I want to be extraordinarily clear about a couple of things up front. Mark Lerner and the Lerner family are not the Snyders and Dan Snyder. I have no reason to believe there is any off-field misconduct, whether that be toxic workplace, whether that be harassing employees, whether that be being a bad business partner, whether in terms of like not paying bills, whether it is committing tax fraud, which I believe Dan Snyder is still under a federal investigation for. None of that stuff. But there was a reality from a football, from a sporting standpoint, that with Dan Snyder in charge, you were never going to be that good, because ownership matters in sports. Your ability, your willingness to pay the best people, your ability to find them in the first place, sort through all of the candidates and be like, this is the actual best one. The ability to convince that person, who is obviously smart and coveted because they're the best one, that they should work for you. That was always the limiting factor as much as anything else with Snyder. Could they have potentially gotten lucky and hit on some draft picks because they were really bad and they were then bad in the right draft? And had they drafted a Peyton Manning type, could they have had some good years? Yes, but they never would have been as good as they could have been. And they consistently ruined all the good things that they had, because that's what bad ownership does versus maximizing everything you've got, which is what Josh Harris has done in year one, and set up the organization as best they can. And that is investments on, so it starts off with the people, right? And then you get into the investments on infrastructure. How's your medical staff? How are your facilities? Are you giving the, how's your analytics group? How is your research group? Like all of these people that you need to hire to compete in the modern version of sports, you were never getting that in Ashburn. Never. They were so far. I remember they were so proud of themselves when they got basic stuff in their training room, like cold plunges. And this is like in 2018. And it's like some teams have had this stuff for a decade. And there's a report in the Post last week. There's some technology that most baseball teams have been using for at least 5 years. And Rizzo is like, hey, we're getting it. And it's like, we're 5 years late, at least. Nevertheless, on the cutting edge. And that's where the next hire obviously is critically important. And maybe the Mark Lerner has learned his lesson. Maybe he's seen the lack of investment, just how bad it is. And he's going to hire someone and say, what do you need? Check. We're super rich. We haven't spent money. And now it's time to go and checkbooks open. And if he does that, then if I was Mike Rizzo, I'd probably be pretty ticked off. But that's the right thing. That's not Mark Lerner's problem. He's got to do it. And the Lerner family, as ownership, has to do it, because that's what it takes to win, if that's what they want to do. And if you don't, well, that's a different conversation. But finding someone who doesn't necessarily need you to open up the pocketbook to win the Juan Soto bidding, like that's a different level. But to, at the very least, make the investments that you need to compete in Major League Baseball, and then hopefully you're getting the most out of your guys. You're drafting really well. You're super smart. You make some smart acquisitions. Maybe you can't re-sign a Mackenzie Gore, another Scott Boras client who is now at the same service time that Juan Soto was when he was traded. But if you make another blockbuster, if it's this year, this offseason, or next year, you could get a ton in return, and you could, off the backs of Juan Soto and Mackenzie Gore, you could build a pretty freaking good baseball team. And then you have to manage the roster moving forward. And so the limitations on the Nationals are very simple. It's whatever Mark Lerner decides for them to be. And if he is truly committed to doing the things that other owners of winning franchises do, and you don't have to spend oodles and oodles of money. There's other ways to do it. Look at the Rays. And you were willing to do what it takes to build a culture, to build a winner, then this will go down as oddly timed, bizarre, surprising in a lot of ways, but ultimately the unquestioned right move. Because I think with some of those investments, someone with a newer, fresher eye, it was probably time. And that's not to take away. And in some ways, this feels dirty to Rizzo, because we should have just been like, this whole first segment could have been a thank you, Mike, for incredible service, a World Series championship, and for, frankly, as he put in a text to Barry Svrluga, navigating that ownership group for 20 years. He did an exceptional job. But I think eventually it does become a time. And so two things can be true at once. It cannot be totally Mike Rizzo's fault, or even mostly Mike Rizzo's fault, that the Nationals are in their current situation. It can also be right to move on. And what comes next is critical if this baseball team wants to be relevant more than a headline every 5 years firing their manager and everyone scratching their head going, what happened to that team that was dominant for stretches of the 2010s and ultimately closed off that decade with a World Series? 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. We will take your calls. What is your reaction to the Rizzo and Martinez firings? And then Robert Flores coming up at 4:45 here on The Hoffman Show.